the traveling. So, work now. You can take samadhi when we are old. So I just wanted to meet with you all and see how you are working.
Namo Bhagavate Krishna Prema Pradayate. Namo Bhagavate Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Navane Gaurathise Namaha. Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Navane Gaurathise Namaha. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya,
Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Chaitanya,
Jai
Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Chaitanya, Jai
Govardhana,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda,
Jai Jai Govardhana,
Hare
Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama.
Hare Haraya Nama Krishna
Yadavaya
Nama.
Gopala Govinda Ram Simaru Sudha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri
Madhusudan. Hare Hare Namah Krishna Hare Vaya Namah.
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 Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Madhavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhu
Sudan.
Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhu Sudan.
Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhu Sudan.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go, Nitya Go, Hare Go.
Nitya Go, Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go.
Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go, Hare Go,
Hare Go, Hare Go,
Hare Go, Daya Prabhupada, Daya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Daya Prabhupada,
Daya Prabhupada, Daya Prabhupada, Prabhupada.
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada,
Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada King,
Jaya.
Sri Kaulavecha Sridhara King.
Jaya.
So, 500 years ago there was a big city in Navadvip here, and this place was on the outskirts of the city and was the house of Kaulavecha's sweetheart. This place was on the outskirts of Navadvip, and this was the place where Kaulavecha's sweetheart lived. Kaulavecha means the banana seller. So actually, I'm not very good at Bengali, but we were just hearing there are so many preparations you can make from the banana, I believe. How many? 25? Subhag Swami, why are you there? At least 25. You can make preparations from the roots of banana. And then if you use the trunk, then you can take out the pith and you can make various preparations from that. So that's even before we start eating the banana fruit itself. There's the banana flour. I was watching the ladies in Calcutta temple. It's quite complicated. You have to take out the stamens of the flowers and you have to cut it up in the right way, and you make a very nice preparation from this banana flour. Lord Chaitanya used to love these preparations. And of course there's the banana itself. We can eat it raw, we can cook it in so many sabjis, and we can eat the fruit. Then of course there's the banana leaf, which we can eat off. This is the most, biodegradable plate that you can eat off, is the banana leaf. So actually the banana is most auspicious plant. Therefore in Hindu culture, you see whenever there's a marriage or a festival, you see the banana plants, you see the dabs, the green dabs, and you see the coconut, but these things go together in Hindu culture. So actually, Kaulavecha Sridhar, he had a very humble occupation, and he was selling bananas at a very honest rate. And he would get half his income for the worship of Mother Ganga. Although he was very poor, he was giving half his income. This is a good example for everyone to follow. Ram, 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 Hari Hari. And actually, his neighbors were disturbed around about this area. There must have been other houses. And they were thinking, why is this man screaming at night? Because he used to chant very loudly. And they thought he was some kind of crazy man. And they used to say, why is he chanting? He's just so hungry, his belly is empty, so he can't sleep properly, so he's just chanting just to take away his hunger. So in this way they used to mock at Kaulavecha Sridhar. So if you remember at Srivastangam, we were talking about this Mahaprakash Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when for 21 hours Lord Chaitanya, he sat on the throne of Vishnu. This is actually where our song comes from. Kiva jaya jaya gora chande arati kosoba. This is where this vision that Bhaktivinoda had comes from, this Leela when Lord Chaitanya was being worshipped by all his devotees as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was calling for all his devotees to come one by one. And he was telling them about secret, intimate leelas that they had, which no one else could have known except the Paramatma. And in this way, Lord Chaitanya was destroying any doubts in the minds of his devotees that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he called for Kaulavecha Sridhar. Bring Sridhar! Bring Sridhar, he's on the outside of the town. Bring him here. So the devotees went running off to bring Kaulavecha Sridhar. So then, they came to Kaulavecha Sridhar and they said, Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya wants to see you. Well, he's calling for you. Immediately Kaulavecha Sridhar fell unconscious on the floor. These are some of the stories from, mostly taken from Chaitanya Bhagavata, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's not so much about Kaulavecha Sridhar as in Chaitanya Bhagavata. That's because Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, deliberately avoided overlapping the descriptions that Vrindavan Das Thakur had made in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. So therefore, most of this story comes from the Chaitanya Bhagavata. So, Kaulavecha Sridhar came to the place where Lord Chaitanya was seated, at Srivastangam, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember me? Don't you remember that insolent young scholar, that schoolboy, who used to come and taunt you when you were selling banana leaves? Don't you remember that? I am that same person." And Kalavetya Sridhar is completely dumbfounded, thunderstruck, wonderstruck at seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He couldn't say anything. And Lord Chaitanya began to describe how he acted with Kalavetya Sridhar. Actually, Kalavetya Sridhar is a very honest merchant. If any of you have ever done business, there comes a point, if you have something to sell, because I've had a little bit of experience of this recently, then you have to tell somebody what you paid for it and how much you want for it. So you may say, "Well, I paid $1 for it. I'm selling it for $2. So whatever you have to say. So then the person you sell to, he will either bargain with you or he will accept what you say is true. But generally, a businessman, for you I'm telling no lie. This is my cost price. For you I'm making no profit. This is what a businessman will say. But everybody knows the businessman is telling a lie. For you I'm making no profit. I'm selling at cost price. So I'm giving you for only $2. Something like that. But actually, Kalavetya Sridhar, I used to tell him the actual price that he was buying at and the actual price he was selling at. And so Lord Chaitanya used to take advantage. So Lord Chaitanya used to be very insolent and he used to say, "I want to take these things and I'm only going to give you half price. I'm not going to pay because I know actually you've got a lot saved away. Actually you're rich. You're pretending to be poor, but actually you're very rich. You've become rich like this. How else could you be worshipping the Mother Ganga? You're giving half your income to Mother Ganga. Therefore you must be making so much profit." In this way, Kalavetya Sridhar used to stand up because the banana seller always used to sit with his wares. Then he would stand up and he would grab what Lord Chaitanya got in his hand. "No, you can't take it." And then Lord Chaitanya would taunt him and say, "Oh, look at you. You must be very rich. You want to keep all these things for yourself." Like this, he used to fight with Kalavetya Sridhar. But he used to look in his eyes and he used to see, actually, he's not angry at me. Actually, Kalavetya Sridhar is just completely captivated looking at the beautiful face of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His beautiful tilak and his wonderful dhoti and chandan and his hair and everything about Lord Chaitanya was so beautiful. Actually, Sridhar Swami was just completely stunned. And every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to come like this and fight and argue for 2 hours. They used to fight and argue. And Lord Chaitanya was enjoying his dealings with his devotee, trying to make him angry, that he would never become angry. And they'd come to the point, "All right, I won't give you at a cheap rate. I'll give you free. You can take what you like for free." And then Lord Chaitanya used to be very happy to receive a donation from his devotee. He loves to receive anything given from his devotee. So then Lord Chaitanya used to take and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, "That's all right, I'll just take this." He didn't want to take too much. When it came to the point of fighting and bargaining, and Kalavetya Sridhar became so frustrated, he said, "All right, just take what you want and get out of here. Leave me alone. You're disturbing me so much. Just go away now. Just take what you want for free." So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "All right, I'll just take a little." And in this way, this pastime was going on. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to go home. Mother Sachi would cook these preparations. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would enjoy these wonderful preparations which were donated by Kalavetya Sridhar. Actually, sometimes Kalavetya Sridhar would say, Why don't you just go away? Go to some other shop. Things are much cheaper there. Please, you go away. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, No, I've got a very good supplier here, good banana seller, a good merchant. How can I give up such a good contact? Just like if you in Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, you're getting good quality things from somebody. You don't want to give up that. So he said, no, I don't want to go to anyone else. So in this way the discussion was made. So sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to use his ultimate argument. He used to say, listen, you're worshipping the Mother Ganges. You're giving half your income to Mother Ganges. I'm the father of the Mother Ganges. Mother Ganges is coming from my lotus feet. And she would go, oh, Vishnu.
I can't hear
this. This is blasphemy. How can some student, he may be beautiful, but how can he say that he's father of the Mother Ganges? In this way, the arguments were going on daily. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he was reminding Kaulavacha Sridhar in this Mahaprakash Leela, he was reminding him of all the transcendental exchanges which had taken place between himself and his devotee, Kaulavacha Sridhar. So Lord Chaitanya said, just, I will give you a boon. I'll give you so many cities. And this is in Sri Vasanga. Kaulavacha Sridhar was just completely stunned at looking at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and become overwhelmed in ecstasy. Tears pouring from his eyes, bowing down on the floor. So Kaulavacha Sridhar looked at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had become blackish, like the tamal tree. And he saw that he'd become just Krishna himself. He saw that he was playing the flute and that he was accompanied by Balaram. There was wonderful effulgence around him. And he saw all the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Anantasesh, Sanak, Narad Muni. All the great sages were there worshipping him. Kaulavacha Sridhar had this wonderful vision in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became completely stunned, unconscious on the ground. So Lord Chaitanya called him, wake up! Wake up, Kaulavacha! Why don't you glorify me? Why are you just rolled on the ground like this? Glorify me! And Kaulavacha said, I can't write, I'm illiterate, I'm not a poet. So what can I say? So at that time, Mother Saraswati inspired Kaulavacha Sridhar from within his heart to begin praising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glory to Lord Chaitanya. All glory to Vishvamba, Lord of Navadvip. All glory to the Lord of creation. All glory to the son of Mother Sachi. These were some of his prayers. All glories to the source of all the incarnations, great mystery of all the Vedas. Actually, you've gone around Navadvip managing everything secretly and nobody knew who you were. Actually, you are the religious principles, you are the duties, you are the source of devotional service. And I couldn't recognize you. You are knowledge, you are the scriptures, you are mystic powers, faith, enjoyment, illusion, greed, Indra, the moon, fire, wood, everything belongs to you. You don't need anything, everything belongs to you. In this way, Kaulavacha Sridhar became very eloquent and started to speak wonderful prayers. And Sridhar said, I'm so sinful that I couldn't recognize you. When you came as a student buying my bananas, I couldn't recognize you because I was so sinful. This way he wept. Now he is realizing that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he began to remember how the Supreme Lord had so many relationships with his devotees. In fact, Krishna likes to be defeated by his devotees, just like Bhishma Dev. So many arrows were shot by Bhishma Dev into Lord Krishna. And Krishna was forced to break his promise to protect Arjuna. And Krishna likes to carry the coward boys on his back. In this way, Soloveitcher Sridhar became completely eloquent describing the glories of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in this way we can begin to see how wonderful the relationship is between the Lord and his devotee. And after that incident, then the incident took place of the first Mahasankirtan, which I was describing yesterday, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the Mahasankirtan party to Chand Kazi's house. Millions of people with torches, they threatened to burn the house, and they ransacked the place, ransacked the garden, and Chand Kazi discussed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the devotees were given freedom to have Mahasankirtan. Mahasankirtana ki! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Hare, Nama Krishna, Hare Vaya Nama.
Hare Hare, Nama Krishna, Hare Vaya Nama.
Gopala Govinda Ram, Srimadi Sudam.
Gopala Govinda Ram.
Hare Hare Nama Krishna Yada Vaya Nama.
Hare Hare Nama Krishna
Yada Vaya
Nama.
Yada Vaya Madhavaya
Krishna
Vaya Nama.
Yada Vaya
Madhavaya Krishna Vaya Nama. Clap your hands, hold it up. Yada Vaya Madhavaya Krishna Vaya Nama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram,
Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Coming back from Chand Kazi's house, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through Navadvip with a big kirtan. Everyone was in ecstasy, complete ecstasy, because they defeated the Kazi. Everyone had freedom to do the Sankirtan. So many people had joined the procession, and it was completely transcendental. As I said, at that time, all the people in Navadvip manifested four hands, just like the people in Vaikuntha. And people were so ecstatic. They didn't even notice they had four hands. Even the Muslims, they were wearing their beards. They took off their, because they were so scared, they took off their turbans. And they were joining in the kirtan because for fear of not being in the kirtan. They were frightened of being spotted. So everyone was totally ecstatic. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stopping at different places in Navadvip. He'd go through the merchants' areas and this area and that area. So then he came right here. Somehow or other the Ganga was nearer then. And the Sankirtan party was passing Kolavecha Sridhar's house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Kolavecha Sridhar's house. And right outside the door, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu see? He saw a water pot with some water in it. He saw some water in Kolavecha Sridhar's water pot. And Kolavecha Sridhar's water pot was made of iron or some kind of lower metal. It wasn't brass. And it was dented and it was repaired. And it was considered to be a very low-class water pot. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of a sudden, when he saw Kolavecha Sridhar's water pot, he felt very thirsty. And so, without hesitation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he walked up to Kolavecha's house and he picked up the water pot and he drank all the water in the water pot. And that water pot had so many uses. actually, it's not considered proper that an elevated person should drink from a beaten up old dented water pot. Actually, Vrindavan Das says that even a thief wasn't interested in that water pot. There's so many water pots around town that they could steal, but this water pot, he couldn't even sell it for anything. It's got so many repairs, so many dents in it. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was drinking with great pleasure. So Sridhar comes running out. Oh, Das, I'm finished. I'm finished. You're going to destroy me. You're destroying me. You're drinking from my water pot. He fainted on the ground. And he's so disturbed spiritually that his worshipful Lord had drunk from his water pot. He's just seen in the previous leela the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next thing, Lord Chaitanya is drinking from his water pot. So Sridhar becomes overwhelmed with ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya said, now my whole being is purified. Today I finally attained devotion to the Lord's feet by drinking from Sridhar's water pot. Tears of ecstasy were pouring down Lord Chaitanya's face. And this is a wonderful example of how the Supreme Lord reciprocates with his devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya was saying, now I'm purified by taking water from my devotee's water pot. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is acting like a devotee. And Tina Mahabhav, Bhakta Pada Duli, Ara Bhakta Pada Jal, Bhakta Pada Avishesha, Tina Mahabhav. These three things, the dust from the lotus feet, the water from the lotus feet of devotees, and the food that's been touched by the great devotees. These things are very purifying for all of us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing us the importance of this thing. So all the other devotees, when they saw Lord Chaitanya drinking from the water pot, they also fell unconscious. Lord Nityananda, Gadadhara, Advaita, Srivas, and they all started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I'd just like now to ask Pralhadananda Swami to please develop this a little more. I don't have a much philosophical understanding myself, or I'm not very eloquent, but at least I've told the story to the best of my ability, and now I'm requesting Pralhadananda Swami to explain more about how the Lord and his devotees are pleased with one another, and how we can become purified by following Lord Chaitanya's example.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Sunday art is 6 o'clock.
So 6 o'clock?
Well, that's Jolsi art.
Om Agena Divinandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chaksu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svapadantikam. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's revealing his inner consciousness through his activities. And his activities are those of pure love. And pure love means pure love for his devotees. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the combined form of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is walking on these sands of the Jagannath beach, suddenly he saw one hill, the Chataka Parvata. And immediately he ran towards the hill in great transcendental ecstasy, crying out a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that how glorious is this hill of Govardhan. The Govardhan hill provides fresh grass for the cows and caves and different places of pastimes for the cowherd boys. That this hill has trees and different plants on it, all erect in ecstasy due to the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So this hill is actually the greatest of all the devotees. And saying this, immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his body became stunned in ecstasy. And although he was traveling towards the hill at the speed of the mind, suddenly he became stunned. He was traveling first at the speed of the mind, but then he slowed down to the speed of the wind. And then his body erupted just like kandama flowers in transcendental ecstasy. And simultaneously, as he laid on the ground, blood and perspiration oozed from his pores of his body, which were erupting like kandamba flowers. And tears were washing his body. And then the devotees came because they were running after him, and some of them caught up with him, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, other devotees from Jagannath Puri, because the elder devotees such as Bhagavatacharya, he was lame, and Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati, they were very old, so they were moving rather slowly. But at this time, Lord Chaitanya's mind, he went to Vrindavan. And what was he doing in Vrindavan? There on the hill of Govardhan, he heard Krishna's flute. And suddenly Krishna and all the gopis assembled. First Krishna was with the cowherd boys. And when he played on his flute, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they came there. And then Srimati Radharani and Krishna were entering into a cave, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being directed by the gopis to pick some flowers to make a garland for Radha and Krishna. The gopis were asking him to pick the flowers. So in great happiness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was picking the flowers to make a garland for Radha and Krishna. But at this time, the devotees, they began to chant into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ear, and he came to a half-external consciousness. And he said, why have you brought me here? That I was in Vrindavan, I was with Radha and Krishna, and now you've brought me back. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry, and the devotees also began to cry. And then Brahmananda Bharati and Paramananda Puri and Bhagavan Acharya, who was lame, they came there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to consciousness, and he said, why have you come here? And they said, just to see you dance. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt a little embarrassed, and all the devotees went to the Jagannath ocean to bathe. The idea is that what is the desire of Krishna? What is the inner desire of Srimati Radharani? Gopi Bhartu Panakamala Dasa Dasa Anudasa. The real desire is to serve the lotus feet of their pure devotees. That Krishna and Srimati Radharani, their loving exchange, is the basis of all love, and that love is unlimited. And it's so unlimited that actually they desire more than anything else to become a servant of their servants. Not only a servant of their servant, but the servants of all the servants of their servants of their servants. And it is the desire of the servants of the servants of the servants of the servants to also become a servant of the servant of the servant. So Srila Prabhupada, for instance, although he took the role of the Acharya, he took the role of the Acharya to show us how to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, and in this way develop the highest amount of love. That in the pastimes of Krishna, that Srimati, all the gopis, they're pushing Radharani to meet with Krishna, except for some like the followers of Chandravali, but that's another thing. But there are, actually everyone is happy to see Radha and Krishna united. So much happy that when the gopis make the arrangement for Radha and Krishna to meet, then they feel millions of times more happiness than even Radha and Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani can make the arrangements that Krishna can meet with the gopis, then she feels hundreds and millions of times more happiness than her own personal contact with Krishna. And Krishna feels happiness just to see that Srimati Radharani and the gopis are pleased. So this is our mission. We're not trying, stane stita shudigata tanavangmanavya. Kalabeka Shridhar, he's showing us that it is not a question of position. That Krishna, he's the supreme lord, the super soul in everyone's heart. He's the source of all transcendental emotions. He's rasa vaisaha. He's everything. But his aspiration is to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of his servants. Because he is surrendered to love. He wants to be conquered by his devotee out of the devotee's love. So it is not a question even of God, what position he has. It is simply a question how much love we have for Krishna and his devotees. That is success in life. Even Krishna thinks, that is my success. How much love and service I can render to my devotees. So Krishna, he's never stopped his part. He is simply inspiring more and more to become a servant of his servants, including even the conditioned souls. And therefore he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, simply to become the servant of all his servants, but especially the servants of his most fallen devotees. So we are so fortunate, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has even sent someone even more auspicious in one sense than himself. He sent Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's representatives. Because Srila Prabhupada, he was directly empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in such a way as to be able to reciprocate with us personally according to the present situation in this world and to give us the opportunity in the most simple, auspicious way to actually develop the same sentiments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. He's given us, Srila Prabhupada, this ISKCON movement where we have so many opportunities to become a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. That anyone who seriously engages in this movement, we cannot imagine how dear they are to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. And if we can render the smaller service to them, then our lives will become auspicious. That Krishna himself is personally approaching us, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally approaching us, the disciple succession is personally approaching us through the association of all the sincere devotees in this movement. So we may think, oh, there are so many, they're not very qualified, they don't have so much money, they're not so learned, they're not so elegant. But actually, because they are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission to become devotees, they are simply misdirected by this demoniac civilization. But when they get the proper association of a devotee who's in the proper mood and allows Chaitanya's mercy to work through him, then automatically, just like Kaladekar Sridhar, he did not know that this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was simply overwhelmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, and therefore he wanted to render service to him. So if we can develop the proper attitude, the proper transcendental understanding of how to simply become an instrument for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the devotees of this movement and the disciple succession, then we can give this mercy to others, and simply because we are trying, Lord Nityananda and the disciple succession will give us so much mercy that people will become attracted. And not only others will become attracted, but we'll also become attracted. When we see how wonderful this movement is, how wonderful the devotees are, how wonderful the process is, and how wonderful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotee Srila Prabhupada are.
Srila Prabhupada king!
Jai!
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu king!
Jai!
Hare Krishna.
Cultural program, science program. And the two combined are extremely potent, extremely effective like that. So, the other thing we've been working on is this Manipuri Rangini Ketan program. I actually have flyers and book covers. And they performed at the Bombay conference. Manipur is way up in the northeast corner of India, above Bangladesh, and borders on Burma. And in the 17th century, one disciple of Narottam went there, one preacher, and converted the king and the entire country to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So they've been worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu since, you know, 300 years. And there are two Manipuri temples over in Navadvip across the river there, which I went to visit. And they have a very intense, deep culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which practically speaking has been almost undisturbed by any outside influence, you know, for 300 years because the location it is. I'm going to go March 1st for 5 days on a visa, but to get a visa like that, you have to go through Maharaj. You can't even get it through the Indian government, even though they say you can, but when you apply, they just reject your application. You know, but devotees who do want to go there, you can get visas through him. So the show we brought a 20-person show to America, and we usually would start off with with no promotional material. We had a video film on the roof of the Manipuri temple with the backlighting so bright all you could see was black blobs for the dancers. Almost no material at all. And we came cold into the American theater network. Usually they book their shows 18 months to 2 years in advance, and we're trying to book shows 4 months in advance. So anyway, and they couldn't get visas and on. But finally we got out of 25 left Manipur and 20 got to America. They arrive in America. And they've never even seen the ocean. This is their first time they've been out of Manipur like that. So they arrived in New York City, and we had our first show in the New York Temple. It was just devotees were astounded. They performed in all over America. We were able to get shows in the Marin Performing Arts Center, university shows in Seattle and Portland. And gradually, somehow or other, promoters told us that for our first travel like that, we did very, very well. And we finished off with a performance at the Epcot Center in Walt Disney World, like that. And I'll read some of the, this is the flyer we made up this year, our promotional material for this year. We're going to bring them again this year. And it says, graceful, virtuosic, and exciting. This is Dame Beatty Gordon of the Asia Society of New York. National Geographic came to life, the Oregonian. A magical night, the public was amazed. That's Midi Libre newspaper in France. Powerful yet self-controlled. Not for the weak of mind. Les Provinciales of France. Quality family entertainment. Epcot Center, Walt Disney World. Splendid, authentic, and devotional. Ambassador of India, Switzerland. And then finally there was a whole page article from India West, which is one of the three biggest newspapers in the Western world, Indian newspapers. And the reporter wrote, the dances, classical or otherwise, are things of discipline, joy, and power. They have rhythmic subtlety, slow suspense, speed, lyricism, and drama. The whole is illumined by a beauty that transcends the suggestive allure of mere sensual grace. Profoundly they express the inwardness of life and love. So usually when the performance would start, we'd start off with a tribal dance, like the grasshopper dance, and these really fantastic costumes with big plumes and this incredible footwork. The performers we brought were had master's degrees and PhDs from the Manipuri School of Culture, classical culture like that, very good performers. And then after that, they would, beautiful, massive group program. And Srup Damodar Maharaj would then talk about 5 minutes before each presentation. And then he would go, next we'd usually then have a drum program. And I don't know, how many people here have seen Manipuri drum programs? Yeah, it's just unbelievable. To quote Srup Damodar Maharaj, in defiance of the present location, Bengalis can't hold a candle to Manipuri drummers. So, anyway, there's definitely going to be some competition between the two groups. Their drums, they use a mridanga-style drum, but it's made from either jackfruit or mango. And if you've seen them, they do very extremely acrobatic, extremely precise drumming. We had four drummers, and you listened, you only heard one beat with the four drums going. And then they start doing things like doing full flips, right, with the drum while playing and duck walking and spinning like that. So we had a first drum program like that, and the people were amazed. And we went into then martial arts. And again, if you see Manipuri martial arts, they've been They're among some of the fiercest fighters in the face of the earth. This is because they're on the border of Burma. And traditionally, the Burmese have come and sacked every capital they've made. You know, every time they build a capital, the Burmese come and sack it and rob everything. So they fight like anything, but they're a small country. So during this tour, we had I won't call them accidents because they expect it, the martial artists. They use the long swords, daggers, knives, axes, shields, chains, whips, saw, anything they can, you know, to hold the whole program. So we had three cuts during this program, 3 stitches, 4 stitches, and 5 stitches during the program like that. And only when it reaches 5 stitches is it actually a cut. Before that, it's just a scratch, you know. Just, you know, you don't even worry about it like that. And they're very seriously Kshatriya-spirited people, the boys who do this. So then we have a martial arts program like that, and people will be totally overwhelmed. Let me have a break for the, a break. And then back into the program, some more martial arts. And then we go to the Nada Sankirtan, which is supposed to attract Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and witness the Vasant Ras performance, which is the very last performance, the Ras Lila performance. And it's, the drum is held up by a red band, and that's Ananta Sesh. And the tassels are his heads, 6 threads around the left-hand end of the 6 Goswamis. Inside the drum is the entire universe. The black sides on both ends are the eyes of Lord Chaitanya, I think. And it goes on and on like this to give you an example of the kind of intensity of the culture. And then it lasts about 10 minutes, and I think it's the entire life of Krishna in drum notes. So anybody who knows it can listen maybe like for a few seconds and say, ah, yes, now Kansa is being killed, like that. And again, it's extremely precise, so maybe 4 or 5 drummers playing like that. You know, the whole, you listen to it, it's like a story. You can just tell something's going on here more than just notes. So, and then finally, the last performance we did was Vasant Ras. And this is the springtime Ras of Krishna. And Maharaj explains a little bit. And it's very intense. It starts off with Krishna dancing alone. No adult male is allowed on the stage, so Krishna's either a young boy, or in this case, Meena Kumari, who was, again, one of the, I think, a PhD in the performance, played Krishna. And Krishna dances alone in his beautiful costumes for a while by himself, when the singer, some singer sings the background in Manipuri. Then he goes off, and then invariably there's a round of applause as the gopis come on, you know, in beautiful dresses. And all this was given to the king of Manipuri, Bhagyachandra Maharaj, you know, through a series of dreams, a very heavy spiritual background. It was to be performed for the Govindaji deity and not for the public in the beginning, but later then people were allowed to see the performances. And so then the Radharani and the gopis dance for a while, and then Krishna comes back on, they dance together. But and then they start throwing flowers at each other, little flower fight. But Krishna gets a little too heavy, and finally he's just throwing them so hard that Radharani is just sinking down into her big Manipuri dress, and he goes back to get some more flowers, and then Naiko Naiko, which means cool it in Manipur. The gopis are standing there, they make a little barrier, and they say, you can't do that, Krishna. You can't attack Radharani like that. She's our friend. You stop this, you know. So he goes away and tries to come back again, and they stop him again. And they say, oh, Krishna, we know your character. You are a gopi killer. So it goes on like that. And finally, after he sweet-talks the gopis, and, you know, then they allow him to dance again with Radharani. So when it goes on, they dance these beautiful dancing movements. But then Radharani and the gopis start, you know, getting even with Krishna, and they're beating Krishna to the ground with flowers. And finally, Krishna's lying on the ground and defeated. And then at that point, this very beautiful, this touching movement, then Radharani is very gradually, you know, picks him up. And then with mudras like that, you know, is refreshing him, wiping the perspiration off his body, and, you know, like that. And then they dance together, and that finishes the whole performance with, every time, out of 25 performances, a standing ovation, you know, like that. And one lady who's, the devotees in one city organized the whole program for them, and one girl who's a friend of theirs, not a devotee, she came and said that she'd never seen her husband cry, you know, but she said during this Vasant Ras, she saw him like wiping his eyes, like that, because it's just very intense, even if you just know a little bit. So anyway, it's a very good preaching program. And we talked about Ras Lila, we talked about Von Ashram Dharma with the martial arts, we talked about Lord Chaitanya, and everybody was simply nodding. People were coming up afterwards asking, what is Hare Krishna? We want to get a whole, next year, get a whole display of materials like Light in the Bhagavat available. You can sell as much during intermission as you can in ticket sales. And one of my fantasies is that by 1996, and all the profits going to go towards the Manipur, building Manipur temple, you know, in Manipur, Prabhupada's instruction, big temple, beautiful temple. By 1996, one of my fantasies is to be in Carnegie Hall with a 20-man Mridanga team, you know, playing like that to an audience of 5, 10,000 people. Because they're very common, 20-man teams in Manipur. So the very last thing, we went across the river a few days, just before the Padayatra, the day before the Navadvip Mandal Parikram left, and had lunch in one of the Manipuri temples. And Maharaj was trying to negotiate with them to allow us to bring teachers, and during the regular, you know, festival program, to have available for devotees who want to stay over there for 1 month, study martial arts and Manipuri Mridanga, you know, over there and get involved in this program. So it's actually in the purport. In a purport to the, in the ninth canto, Prabhupada actually talks about the culture and people of Manipur, and he says that it's a very ancient culture, and its revival, you know, and cooperation between ISKCON devotees and the people of Manipur can do tremendous benefit to the entire world because the culture is so protected there. So I'm going to ask just take one or two questions if anybody has any, and then we can go on the next program. So any questions or anything? Yeah.
Why is it to
Manipur? It's a restricted state. It was a restricted state since the time the British first came there. The Bhagya Chanda Maharaj had lost 23 battles to the Burmese. So finally he made a deal with the British East India Company, and that, you know, made him a part of India. Then the British sent the necessary reinforcements to fight the Burmese. Then they sent a delegation of, I think, 17 people, and somebody slaughtered the entire group. And then they retaliated by dethroning the King of Manipur and making it a restricted, controlled area. And I think from that time on, it was always a restricted area. It just kind of remained that way. And then when the Chinese War occurred and China started to invade northeastern India, the British government became even more, Indian government became even more restrictive and concerned about those border states. Because if you look at a map of India, it's almost impossible to get an army up there. You have like a 100-mile wide corridor above Bangladesh to get any you know, troops there. So they're very, very cautious about who goes there, foreigners, CIA agents. And also in general, they're, they are trying to, you know, keep those areas, I've been explained to me, to keep those areas protected in terms of, like, you know, cultural influence like that. You know. So that's about all I know. It's always been a restricted state, the border strait, very close to Chinese border. Yeah. Any other questions?
So in general, the Vaishnava culture is well maintained?
It's the way Maharaj describes it, it's the only stronghold of Vaishnava culture in northeastern India. Christian missionaries are converting all the people in those countries to Christianity. You know, in Manipur, the tribal people in the hills are becoming converted, but the majority of people in the valley, it's one big valley mostly, are all a strong Vaishnava culture, you know, and very proud of their, you know, their heritage and very sophisticated Brahminical standards like that, you know. And so it's the only Vaishnava state, you know.
Followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Yeah, yeah, since the 17th century. They have temples at Radhakund, their bhajans, their glorification of Lord Chaitanya's activities at Jagannath Puri, you know, like that. And they sing the same Narottam bhajans we do. Up until Narottam Das, they have the same acharyas that we do, same background, like that. Question here?
No. Next speaker.
One. Okay, so thank you very much. If anybody has any questions about the Institute or Rangini Caton, then please talk to me during the festival. John. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Everything possible that he could do to make our stay very comfortable. So we.
Hari Bhai!
Jnanatimirandhasyam Jnananjana salakaya Chakshurun militam jenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Sayacaitanam Stapitam jenam bhutale Shayam rupa kadamayam dadatisha padantikam Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanau Nityanandau Shahaditau Gaurodai Pushpabantau Chitrau Shandau Tamanudau Avatirnau Shakarunnau Parichannau Shadishwarau Sri Krishna Chaitanau Nityanandau Dobhataru Bhaje Moham Badhistire Kanakaruchire Nila Shikhare Bhashan Prashadantaho Shahujo Paluhadu Shubhadra Madhasto Shakala Shura Shiva Vasharada Jagannath Swami Nayana Patagami Bhavatume Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhi Brindavaneshwari Vrishohano Shute Devi Pranamami Haripriye He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanto Radha Kanta Namastute Vancha Kalpo Taruhascha Kripa Sindho Bhivacha Patitanam Pavenibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Rup Sri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Iti Sarashakam Nam Nam Koli Kalam Sanashanam Nātaho parataropāyo sarvabhedeshu drishyate harir nāma harir namaiva kevalam kalo nasteva gatiranatha So the darshan of the deities of the Lord Sri Jagannath Dev. The darshan of the deities of the Lord Sri Jagannath Dev, Baladev and Subhadra Devi we are having of are none different from the Lord Sri of Jagannath Puri itself, and that has been described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book on Navadvip Dham, called Navadvip Dham Mahatma, the glories of Navadvip Dham. And there he explains that long ago, few ages ago, a demoniac person named Rapta Bahu appeared in the region of Orisha, and he was breaking down all the Hindu temples. He was atheist, as we find in the modern history the name of Kalapahar, who had the same nature, Indian history, breaking all the Hindu temples down, breaking all the deities inside the temple. So this Rapta Bahu was the same kind of person. And while he was doing that and proceeding towards the
towards Jagannath temple, the devotees of Lord Jagannath become very much worried. And they approach their worshipful Lord, asking, our beloved Lord, this is the situation and we are very much worried about your protection. So please let us know, please instruct us, what should be our function in this situation? What should we do? So being merciful upon his devotees and being understood the mode of his devotees, Lord Jagannath one day appeared in the dream of the head priest and instructed him that since they are so much worried about his protection, so they should take him, the deities of him and his elder brother and younger sister, towards the region of Bengal, and they should take the way to the jungle so that they don't meet Raktabahu on the way. So being instructed like this, immediately the Shabala devotees are called, as I think practically everybody knows, that in Jagannath Puri they have a system, like there are different castes, they're assigned for different services. So this Shabala devotees, they are assigned with this service of carrying Lord for the festival, wherever there is festival, wherever there is, occasion that Lord should be taken out of the temple. The Shabada devotees perform that duty. They take the Lord on their shoulder. They have different system. So immediately Shabada devotees were called and they were told to take their lordships towards Bengal. So they were immediately ready and they set out for Bengal. And every day they used to walk all day, and in the evening before the dusk came down, they used to settle somewhere, clean some place, put the deity somewhere. Then they would collect fruits and flowers from the forest. They would offer it to Lord Jagannath, worship them, and then they would take prasad and would go to take rest. This way, they spent about 12-13 days. And then one day, just before the dusk came down, they arrived at this place, and they did the same thing. And at night, when they were taking rest, Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream of the head Shabala and asked him that, and told him that, he liked this place very much. It is a very transcendental place and naturally very opulent. So he would like to settle here permanently, and they should arrange to establish his temple and his worship and everything. So immediately the Shabalas circulated the messages, and they immediately worked for that, and finally they established the temple, the worshiping everything. And by tradition, generations, for few generations, they continued the worships. Then by the virtue of their devotion, love and devotion, and their service to their lordships, they finally attained liberation. And they went back to the eternal abode of Lord Jagannath, and finally there is nobody left to continue the service. So gradually the lordships, they never moved. They stayed at the same place. And that was re-exposed after hundreds of years, and before, say, about 450 years, when Mahaprabhu was present in this world. He was living in Jagannath Puri at that time, and after taking sannyas, and as we find from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, that devotees, hundreds and thousands of devotees would follow the prime devotees of Lord Chaitanya, namely Sri Vyasa Thakur, Advaita Prabhu, Mukunda Prabhu, etc. And hundreds and thousands of devotees would follow, but not everyone's name is mentioned. But from the local legend we find that there is such a devotee named Jagadish Ganguly, who used to follow this group. And he used to go every year for the chariot festival to Jagannath Puri to have darshan of Mahaprabhu and to take part in the chariot festival. So, and every year he used to go, but one year it happened due to his advanced age and he became very old and he lost his ability and he lost his eyesight. So his friends and relatives decided not to take him that year. And when he was told that, he was completely in a broken heart and he said no. So long he's alive, he would try his best to take this an opportunity, because this is hardly one can get this kind of opportunity. So he was requesting them not to, you know, leaving, you know, back, but he couldn't convince them, and finally they left without taking him. And when he came to know that, he was completely broken at the end. He was crying and crying and crying day and all day and night, and then finally at the dead of night he fell asleep, and Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and asked him that and told him that, my dear devotee, Jagadish Ganguly, actually I am very much overwhelmed by your love and devotion for me, and so I like to manifest my very form of Lord Jagannath Dev, which you are striving to have darshan for. And actually, as a matter of fact, I came here long ago and I am still living here. I came here from Jagannath Puri and by my devotees. I was carried from there and by my devotees, and I am living here since that time. But since my devotees have left for the spiritual abode, so no one is there to perform service to me. So I like to manifest, to expose my form, Jagannath form, here through you. And that's why you should, tomorrow morning when you go, you should go to take bath in the Ganges, and while you will take deep, a big log will come floating, and you should take that to the local marketplace called Bamanpukur, which is still existing, and you will find look for a leper carpenter who is living there, and you should tell him to carve a deity out of that log of mine, and you should install that deity and should consider that deity is non-different from the deity you are trying to have darshan for, that is Nilachal Pati, the master of Nilachal Dham, Nilachal Puri, and you should not worry anymore. You should perform service and you will be very happy. And then Lord disappeared and he woke up and he saw it was already morning. So he started for the Ganges, and while he was taking deep, a big log came floating and touched his body, and as soon as that log touched his body, he got back his eyesight and he saw the big log. So he saw around and he found a few villagers, he called them, and with the help he took the whole log to that leper carpenter he was mentioned in the dream. And they all asked him, and he requested him to carve a deity of Lord Jagannath. But in the beginning he was hesitating, because he was showing his condition that practically he didn't have any finger to perform this kind of service, and it was practically impossible. So he was just reluctant, but all the villagers along with Jagadish Ganguly, they are all requesting, and since it is the divine will of the Lord, it will be fructified in any way, but he should take the advantage, he should take the opportunity to be blessed by the Lord. So being requested by all these Jagadish Ganguly and all the villagers, he finally took up the service, and he was trying his best. In the beginning it was really difficult for him, but by the grace of Lord he was able to perform the service, and the more he was advancing on the work, the more he was getting cured, and finally the whole deity was cured and he was fully cured. And Lord Jagadish Ganguly brought the deity. In the meantime he installed found a temple, and the deities were installed in the deity of Lord Jagannath was installed in the temple. But while he was performing service, something came in his mind. He thought that Lord Jagannath, in this very form, He never takes the service of his devotees alone. He is always accompanied by his brother and sister. But in this case, he is alone. So one day he approached the Lord. And immediately Lord said that, I will fulfill your desire. So he mentioned about some nimba tree in some particular wood. And he brought that tree, cut the tree, and got the deities of Lord Baladev and Subhadra Devi curved from that and installed them next to Lord Jagannath Dev and Jagannath Dev. And these are those deities that was installed by Lord Jagadish Ganguly. And they are then 450 years old. And since that time, Jagadish Ganguly, and for generations, you know, few generations, it was worshipped for about 350 years or 300 years. And then, just about 150 years back from now, is also Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned in some of his book that there's a big epidemic took place in Nadia district, and hundreds of thousands of people died. So in that epidemic, these devotees of Lord Jagannath, Jagadish Ganguly's traditions, means success descendants, yeah, they all died, and practically there is nobody left to continue the service worship. So then again, and that was, it is said that that was, the temple was established underneath that banyan tree, as you see, and it, this banyan tree is also said is very, very old, nobody knows how old it is. And all, then the whole temple, due to the, since there is nobody to take care, it was gradually was breaking down, and you know, bushes was covering everything. And finally, everything was disappeared in the same way it happened in the past. So, and then another 56 years were passed, then one devotee named Pratik Chatterjee came to live here. That old building is still existing, that we are using now. And Pratik Chatterjee, he used to live here. He was not a Vaishnava, but he was kind of pious man. He used to worship different demigods, like every Bengali does. And, but he was very, pious. And so one, he used to, when he came here, he used to smell every day, after, in the evening, used to smell like, burning camphor, burning incense, cooking sweet rice, this kind. He used to wonder, I'm living practically in a jungle and there's nobody around and there's no temple. Where this smells comes from? So he used to wonder a lot, and he used to ask his friends from, distant villages. But nobody could give a proper, suitable answer. So one day, while he was passing by the by this road, passing by this banyan tree, he felt something like, in the evening he was going, and he felt something like somebody has possessed his body, and he couldn't move anymore. And finally he could hear somebody speaking that, we are living here for a long, long time, we are thirsty, we are hungry, please take us out of this place, please feed us. Please take care of us. And then, he was, he fainted. And after some time, when he got back to his senses, he woke up, and next morning he went to his friends and he told him his experience. And then they all came, and with their help, he cleaned the whole, started cleaning up the bushes. And then finally, gradually they found a small house, which was halfway down the earth. And there was a little doorway left, and they went through that in the room, in the temple, and they found the beautiful deities of their lordships. And though everything was broken and there was turmoil around, but nothing had happened to the deities. They're all unaffected. So they all, they took out the deities, they, practically rebuilt the whole thing, whole temple and everything, and installed their lordships. And then Pratik Chatterjee continued the service for next another 50-60 years till the time we came here. And that was in the 1979, we were performing Navadvip Parikrama. We were going from spot to spot where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed pastimes.
And it was like this, you know, before Gaur Purnima festival, and Srila Jayapataka Maharaj was leading the party. And we came to Siddhar Angan after, you know, we came to Chandkaji Samadhi, then came to Siddhar Angan. There we had, I think many of you were there, I don't know who were. And we had Kirtan Maharaj and other, you know, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, Srila Harikesh Maharaj and others, they gave lecture. You were there, Maharaj, in the party? 79. So then, you know, after spending 1 hour or so, we were about to leave the place, and then somebody came and informed us about the Jagannath temple here. Before that, nobody knew about the temple here. And then we came, you know, through the field, farming field, and we came here, and finally we entered in the temple. There is no such temple like this. There is all open field, and within, the, you know, in the, in this, you know, underneath that banyan tree, there's a small house like we have now. That house is still existing, and devotees had the darshan of the beautiful forms of their lordships. And they're all ecstatic, they're all chanting Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev. Finally there's a big kirtan, everybody's dancing and chanting. And then all the sannyasis and maharajas and senior leaders, they'll, you know, delivered lectures on Lord Jagannath. And then the pujari, Pratik Chatterjee, very old man, about 85 or so, he was sitting on the veranda of the temple. He was very thin and he could hardly, you know, move, but he was some kind of effulgent was there. He was very, looked very bright and very, you know, powerful. And he was speaking very, you know, firmly. And then he started speaking after everybody spoke. And he gave, you know, all these, you know, nectars. And finally, he announced his, you know, he expressed his desire that they are there, his beloved lords, the worshipful lords. He is taking care of last 50 years or so, and now he is a thief. And most sorrowful issue is that he has no descendant, no son to take care after his, you know, departure. So he is very much worried about their lordships. So he consulted a few of his friends, and they advised him that he should give the charge of these deities to ISKCON, because their standard of worshipping is very, you know, high class, very, you know, gorgeous. So, evil. So they would feel, and he would be very glad to see that how their, his beloved lords have been taken and nicely taken care. So he was actually looking for us. He wanted to meet us, but he was unable to move properly. But Lord Jagannath has personally brought you here to fulfill my desire. He was speaking like this. And then in few days negotiation, the whole thing was, you know, taken by ISKCON. And then service, you know, ISKCON performance started performing service. But then what happened, about 2 years, 2-3 years, we continued the service. About two years, we continued the service like this, and, you know, like, we, you know, devotees would come during the daytime, because nobody would leave. It was not like this. There was no electricity, there was no water, nothing was, no building. And that building that he gave us, donated us with the temple, was completely broken. Nobody could live there, and maybe few, you know, many snakes would live in that house. So devotees were afraid to go in that building. So, and everything was like, even in the, during the daytime, that place would, you know, it was so dark. So nobody would live there, you know, dare to live here. So devotees would come during the daytime around 10, 11 with the bhoga. They would, and they would open the temple. One devotee, pujari, would come, open the temple, clean everything, offer the bhoga, and then offer the noon arati, and then put the Jagannath there in rest, and then would go back to temple again. And it was continued like that for, say, about 2 years. I don't even remember exactly how many days, you know, like 2 years. Then at that time, one devotee named Anakanda Nipi Prabhu, he was performing that service, and one day he had the dream that he came for this service, to perform this service. He was having the dream. And he came, he opened the temple, and he found no deities in the temple. And he was very much, you know, shocked, you know, worried. So, and as a matter of fact, these deities were, you know, the brahmanas of Belpukur, they tried to steal these deities once. And they took them up to this, there's a place called Shatpukur, the place of combination of seven ponds, because this is called Shatpukur. There's seven ponds right there. And when they took them up to that place, and then they became so heavy, they couldn't take them. And then it was already morning and they had to leave. So he heard this story and he said, maybe again these brahmanas have stolen these deities. So he was very much worried, but still he was trying to find them out. He was going around the temple. And finally when he went on the back side of the temple, he found these deities, that lordships were walking on the field. They are going towards Mayapur, this side. So immediately and he ran after them, them, and he finally reached them and, stated obeisance, and then, with folded hands, he asked the reason why they were leaving, why were they leaving? So they complained, oh, you were offering such a, you have such an elaborate arrangement for Radha Madhav, you are offering so many times different bogas and delicious bogas, and for us once in a day, what is this? You don't consider us as a person. We are very heavy. We are not going to stay here. We are going to go Mayapur, live with Mayapur or with Radha Madhav and take the full advantage. We don't want to go under any austerity anymore. Forget it. Then he said, no, Prabhu, this is your place. You must live here and everybody should come here to worship your lordships. So please, I'll inform this to our authority and we'll make immediate arrangement. So immediately, and then he woke up, and it was a dream, but he took it as a, fact. So immediately, circulated the whole thing among the authorities, leaders, and everybody, and immediately, bunch of brahmacharis were sent in that snake-filled house, and I was in that party. But snakes were very merciful, they never touched us, never harmed us. They used to live with us in the same house. But anyway. And in due course of time, they all left.
Yeah.
And then we performed the service for about 1 year, and then he phoned. It was all dream. In those days, it was all dream to us. We used to live every day in the dark, in dense dark. So this way, their lordships, they have showered so much mercy upon us. And there are many other things to be, talked about, but there's not much time. But one important historical fact I like to mention, that's also from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, that Srimad Nityananda Prabhu, when he was taking Srila Sijiv Goswami, after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, Sijiv Goswami came to Navadvip Dham, and Srimad Nityananda Prabhu was taking him to different spots of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And there, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that he came to this Shimantadip and had darshan of their lordships, of Jagannath Dev. He mentioned that Nityananda Prabhu took Sijiv Goswami to Shimantadip to have the darshan of their Lord Sri Sri Jagannath Dev, Baladev and Shivadev. And these are those, deities. They are their lordships. So yeah, this way, that we find that we are also holding, the traditional thing, this most authentic and most, just pillars of our sampradaya, they had, they came to this place and they blessed us, and they have made all these arrangements for us, the future generation, to perform service to their lordships. So this way also, from this historical point of view, this is also very significant that we are fortunate to have the chance to serve their lordships. The Nityananda Prabhu, not different from Baladev himself, personally came to places, to this place where we are sitting now, and at darshan, we got the chance of to serve to their lordships of the same deity. And yes, there are many other local stories, like the Lord performed among his devotees. He's actually practically merciful to all the, even the, non-believers, even the, critics, even, atheists. Like one there are hundreds of stories maybe Rami Vaishnava could give, but I know few, but I will give at least one, which will give like, that will make the devotees ecstatic, and that will make the non-believers, become believer, and they will become a devotee gradually of Lord Jagannath. Once it happened on Snan Jatra festival, on Snan Jatra day, one of our devotees, he offered some khichdi prasad to one local Muslim guy. And the devotees, just purposely did this. He knew that this man was very, offensive and very, kind of demonic person. So he intentionally did that. And that man, he showed his hatred more in a murder, and he said, what is this prasad? I don't care for this prasad. And then he literally spit it on the prasad. And then that night, Lord Balalev got on his case. He appeared in his dream, caught hold of his neck, and praised him like anything, and started shaking and said, "You fool, you dare to show hatred to the prasad of my brother, which is even honored by the Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Lord Rudra, and you are there to do that, I'll kill you today." And Shivaji was standing next to him and insisting him, "Kill him, Dada, kill him, Dada." Dada is addressing to the elder brother in Bengali. So, "Kill him, Dada, kill him, Dada." But Jagannath was very, compassionate, very sympathetic. And he said, no, he's innocent. He doesn't know. At least give him a chance. Don't kill him." So Baladev took him, took his hands off. And the next morning, that guy came running to the pujari, all swelled up, and there's a fingertips on the both sides of the neck, and all swelled up. And he brought some vegetables from his house and gave it to the pujari and said, "Please give it to Jagannath Dev and give me some prasad, please." Give me some prasad. And pujari was astonished to see his change, the whole change took place, overnight, overnight change. And he gave him prasad, and since that time he became practically a devotee. And not only him, many other Muslims, many other, atheists, Hindus, they all became devotees. And whoever after that, last few years, whoever, Muslims or Hindus or whoever, committed any offense to Lord Jagannath was, punished severely. Either he lost his property, defeated in the, court case, or he lost his son, or lost everything, and practically they could understand what it was. Or suffered from, serious disease, and finally died. Whoever, and we found out that somebody had stolen the cement, or something from the temple, or as had beaten the devotee, something had done. And he was punished within a few days. Now, by the grace of their lordships, there are practically no enemy. So far I found in my last 1.5 years staying in Lord Jagannath temple, nobody tried to harm the temple. And whoever tried little bit, they were severely punished, not by Lord Jagannath. They are not, fortunate enough. They are punished by the local leaders. Yeah. Because they already learned the lessons. They had already learned the lessons, the lost leaders. So like that, Lord is here. From he had come long, long ago. We are worried that, we are not given chance to enter in the temple, to take darshan, to perform service. But he came even before than us, before we started worrying and waiting here for us to come. We are worried, waiting for the days of